heroes, highlights, and hardships with Triple M's Rush Hour.
Welcome to the 3H's podcast. We get someone that we admire, someone we respect, and someone that you guys would know. And we ask them their hero, their highlight, and their hardship. And today, straight back from Europe, Mitchell Pearce joins us. Mitch, how are you, mate?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Mate, and welcome to the Triple M family as well. You're going to do some calling for us.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I did my first game, Newcastle, Melbourne. I'm doing a show with Toddy on the Monday. So, yeah, it's good to be a part of it and good experience.
Nice combination, like you used to be at the Roosters, you two.
Yeah, we've always been real tight. So when the opportunity came up, we're loving it.
Good on you. Great to have you back, mate. Let's start the ball rolling. Who is your hero on or off the field? And you can have a couple if it's hard to just make it one.
Hero, I'll probably say my footy hero was Andrew Johns. So growing up, I loved, you know, he strived to be a first grade halfback. And then obviously Joey was the pinnacle. So yeah, big fan of Joey and modeled a lot of my game on him. I actually got, when I first debuted, so I didn't have much to do with Joey till that point, and started giving me a few raps in the papers, and I got a call from him. So at that age, when you're 17, 18, it's like, how good's this?
Yeah. Anyway, did you believe it was him when he answered or not?
No, so I was doing recovery with Mini. Anthony Minicello was a captain, I think, at the time. We were both injured. And obviously, I looked up the Mini. I was a kid. And Mini was tight with Joey, and he'd given him my number. So anyway, I got a message, and it said, oh, oi, cowboy, give me a ring or something.
I was like, who's this?
So I was going, how good's this? And then I said to Mini, he goes, oh, it's Joey, give him a call. Anyway, I ended up going to Newcastle that weekend, and Joey was on a bit of a bender. So I stayed at his house. That was my first experience with Joey, and maybe led to my drinking problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that was the calling the hero. But, so I tell everyone that story, and ever since then, he's always been a friend and a good mentor. So he was my hero, Joey.
I remember meeting you when you were 16. Was it hard growing up in the shadow of your dad? Because obviously you got a wonderful family, very supportive. I remember reading articles about you coming through the junior system, but then your dad was Wayne Pearce, one of the greatest guys in the game.
Yeah, I suppose people have been asking me that question now that I'm older, and I'm just grateful. I suppose there's so many things you pick up when you get a bit older. You know, you're clearer about life, I suppose, and I just see what a good example Dad was, the way he trains. You know, he was ahead of his time, even players that have played with him, but to have that as your dad, I just thought it was normal, you know, going to the gym, and sort of showed me the recipe to have success. And, having that strong figure in your life, you know, you got to be grateful for that. A lot of people don't get a father full stop. So to have that, I'm very thankful.
What's your earliest memories of being in the sheds? I can imagine you would have been just charging around, meeting some of the players, and it's just normal for some of the kids who grow up amongst footy clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, I suppose, plenty of time in at Leichhardt Oval. Obviously, Dad was coaching, so, spent plenty of time around the footy all through my childhood. And I suppose, you just think it's normal. That was my upbringing, and then obviously fell in love with the game too. And, so I'm very grateful for my parents and then obviously Dad's leadership.
So you said your footy guy is Andrew Johns, so your hero in life, would it be your old man? Would it be anyone else that you can talk to us about?
I haven't thought that deeply about it, but I'd say Dad. Yeah, I'll give Dad a rap with that. Mum and Dad. They're probably your heroes, I suppose. As I said, when you get older, you got to appreciate all the good things that are come your way. And I was very blessed that I had good strong family and especially a strong father. So I'll give Dad that.
What about Joey? Obviously, throughout your career, I'd imagine you would have reached out at different stages. Any key moments over your journey that you'd just lean on him for some footy advice?
Yeah, he's been awesome. I actually saw Joey yesterday, and even still, you know, when it's your hero, when you're a kid, you always still have that twinkle in your eye, I suppose. And he's the greatest player that I've ever seen. I suppose there's a few more popping their heads up now, but I had a great relationship with Joey all through my career. He coached us for a bit at the Roosters. He's always been rock solid behind me and always supported me. So, he's been one of those. Both of them, actually, Matty as well. Yeah. I used to go down to Matty's house probably in my early 20s when I first started playing, and he taught me a fair bit in my development. They're sort of both of them, as most people know, maybe you don't, but they give a lot of time to young halves, you know, out of their own time, stuff that they don't have to do. It's not for work. I used to go down to Matty's a lot. Down at Collaroy there. Is it Collaroy where he lives?
Yeah, that's right. He talked to us a little bit, just MG and I in here when we did the Brekkie show. He said, I had Mitch down. And it's like, mate, you never talk about that. He goes, Yeah. Mitch wanted to come down. Yeah. I like the kid. I want him to go well. So he just went off to the field at the basically the end of his road.
Yeah.
And he'd go through drills and stuff with you, but no one ever knew about it. Yeah.
No, he was. That's what I mean. He sort of. I used to go down there a bit, and he'd just text me on random days and say, "What are you doing? Come down." And he'd have video sessions or just talk footy. There'd be times he'd just give me a ring. And as a kid, when you're going through your sort of 19, 20, 21, those mentors are priceless. Mm. You know, you're a bit insecure. You're coming into a football career. And Matty was always really deep with me as well. You know, he gave me a lot of advice, how to deal with different things. So maybe people don't see that side of Matty as well.
Mm.
And Joey's the same. You know, they're guys.
Yeah.
They like to hide it, don't they? Yeah, they like to be behind the larrikin, which we all love, and that's probably what they get paid for. But there's a lot of depth.
Yeah, definitely.
To both of them.
And I think I learned a lot of my subtle skills when I was younger off them. Obviously, I looked up to them, and a lot of the ball playing stuff. They've obviously, a lot of other players, I know Cooper Cronk and these type of great players have spoke about their influence. But, you know, a lot of those early days when I learned, you know, basic skills off them and little subtle movements. It was really a big part of my development.
Well, it's funny being here at Triple M now, watching you and Wade Graham. I was lucky enough when I came back to the league, I got to play against you at the SFS. And
that wasn't fun.
No, but I mean,
tackling you.
But Freddie gave you a job to do, which was pretty fair because I was a little bit heavier then. It was a wet game, and he kept kicking it behind me, so I just kept running straight back at him, and then sent him out of sight, and me had a clash. But I saw a young kid, Mitchell Pearce, and I just couldn't believe I was playing against him. Obviously, you know, I knew his dad quite well, but.
I was the same playing you, Dill.
Yeah,
legend.
To see how the game's changed now, and even then, there's always a lot of pressure on you, you know, because from a young age and even an origin, that you had some clashes with Thurston, and that wasn't from you, bud. That was just a young player coming through, and the boys are trying to get at you. How'd you handle that?
Yeah, the Thurston one was I got blown out of proportion. I don't even. It was heat of the battle. And
yeah,
he got me good, didn't he? What am I going to say? He's one of the greatest players ever, and. Yeah, I always get a bit embarrassed around Origin time when they bring that up. But, you know, Origin for me was a tough journey. It was a difficult time for New South Wales in general. And being that guy every year, I won't lie, it was a lot of shame after series. You know, when you lose those games, you feel like you let a lot of people down. There's a lot of emotion, as you know, more than anyone going into those games. Losing any game as a sportsman, you feel like shit, don't you? You come in after, you're allowed to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Podcast you can.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, you come in after a game and you don't, you know, you just want to put your head down between your legs. But especially in Origin and all the build-up and all the barrage that comes after, it's all part of it. But, yeah, that was – I look back in Origin as a strange emotion, like a bit of a roller coaster, but I've always privileged to play in those arenas. And to win in 19 was special. To come back after all those – emotions and mixed, you know, a bit of a roller coaster to come back and get that feeling. You know, Freddie got me back in for that last game, and I'll always remember that one.
Is that the highlight for you across your career and on and off the pitch?
Yeah, it's definitely one that I'll always remember. Winning the premierships, obviously, you can't replace that. That was, you know, such a special feeling. And, you know, going back into the Roosters, I'd been away for a couple of years, and then coming back, leaving to another club. You know, I've got mates for life there, and it's real friends. You know, you walk back in the room the other day, and it was that, you know, it was that genuine feeling, and you sort of forget that when you go away, and it's not till you retire that you come back and you feel that, you know, depth. You know, Boyd Cordner, you know, Mitch Orbison, and all these boys that I've known
legends,
since we were 16
champions.
But, you know, we're rock solid friends way beyond footy. So and that's what a premiership creates for you, that feeling, and Origin's the same. So to win that. Ask Deli's one more than me.
Oh, no, I'm only at 50%, mate. I'll probably get some good sides in my day. So don't be embarrassed by it, mate. Like, some of those Queensland sides, they were gun Queensland sides, mate. And the way that you played Origin, mate, you gave your heart and soul. That's all you can ask, mate.
Robbo's done a great job of bringing all those old players back into the fold, though. You obviously got a chance to present a JWH with his jersey the other day.
Oh, yeah, that was special. Went back in there. They're doing, as you said, there's a lot of the old boys. Like, Boydie's assistant coach there now. Jake Friend and Orbo are doing all the academy stuff. And yeah, to present Jared's jersey was special. What a player he's been.
Oh, man.
Just a freak.
Imagine how many
best
games you would have
played with, definitely. And
imagine how many games you would have played if you hadn't got suspended.
Oh, that's just like,
we could have been looking at his 400th game.
That's the way that he plays, mate. That's the way he plays. You love him for it.
Oh, he's a freak.
Yeah.
Too big, too strong. Yeah. But so what he does around the club as well, we spoke about it this morning, but just his influence. You know, great family man, and just his influence on the team and the players at the club. You know, from the youngest guy to James Tedesco, they'd all speak about the influence he's had on them. So
I was telling Gussie and Jude, I set golf balls at Oxley Driving Range, and when I first met him and playing great, and I said, "Oh, mate, well done on your career and that, you know, you're going well." Yeah. And he goes, "Well, Dally, it's a funny story. When you hit golf balls, my uncle introduced me to you, so you were hitting golf balls near us, because he played, I think he played off one or two, or he played off scratch at some stage."
Yeah, he was good.
JWH was a really good golfer.
JWH?
100%, mate, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Just so talented, hey?
Yeah.
So the highlights obviously Origin coming back, like Freddie bringing you back and so forth, the comp win in 2013. Can we talk about that night a little bit now? Because a couple of roosters here in the room and we're still drunk. Well, let's talk about 2013 initially.
Yeah.
And that victory. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. 2010, we made grand final, as you'd know. As a Roosters fan.
Well, you know, leading at halftime.
I know. Don't remind me.
Brett Morris wasn't
there. Well, Brett Morris, he was in the grandstand.
Did you leave Del the year before?
Yeah, they won at your Nightingale. I was on the sideline there, yeah.
That's right, yeah. So to lose that one, that year, I've spoken about it before, but we were really young that year. So Toddy came that season, won the Dally M.
He was unreal, yeah.
We had a great combination together, great friendship. We were all young, so all the boys that we talked about, you know, Boydie, Jake, I don't even know if, was Boyd playing it? In 10? Maybe debut the year after.
Oh, okay.
All that crew of boys came through. Yeah. We're all young. Anasta was there. He was captain. Yeah. Brave. So, I suppose losing that one, being young, you sort of, it was disappointing, but you take it for granted a little bit. And when 13 came around, there was just the emotions of it. Before the game, you could feel those nerves. And Manly had such a good team, as you remember. They were just as good on paper as we were. Mm-hmm. And the game was on the balance there for a while. We did well to get back into it. So yeah, but the emotion you get after those wins is just—I remember crying for about 20 minutes, just nonstop. You just can't stop crying.
Well, Sonny Bill stepped up in the second half. There's a story, and whether or not this is true or not, he was saying, "Boys, I've never played a worse half of footy. Follow me, and we'll win this game." Or words to that effect in that second half. He did pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Sonny was one of those players you wouldn't even have to say that. He just showed it through his actions. And, it's a privilege to play with him. I defended next to Sonny for those 2 years, so made me look good, that's for sure. He's what a player he was. But that whole team we had, like you look at the across the board from our winger to our bench players, the whole team was just absolute superstars. And
brilliant.
Robbo did a great job to bring everyone together.
It was his first year of coaching, of course.
First year of coaching, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a highlight for sure.
Yeah, brilliant.
What about a hardship, mate, across your career?
Football-wise, I've had a few just brought on by myself, definitely, with the drink.
You said you're off
the
drink
now? I've stopped drinking. I've been off the drink for about a year and a half. So for me, I've stopped in periods through my career and didn't learn my lesson always thought. I went back to it at times for whatever reason. But at that age now, it just felt right to stop. And I'm doing a good job of it so far. I'm really
good
happy.
Good on you.
So hardship. I've had a few, obviously, football-wise with the different setbacks. Probably the dog thing was pretty, from a football point of view, was a bit of a setback.
Do you think you were badly treated there compared to, you know, for what you actually
there wasn't
did
that
compared
much in it, to be honest, yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of talk about it until we actually saw it and went, well, that's just silly.
Yeah.
But that's not actually what everyone was saying was going to be like.
A bit of tomfoolery, wasn't it?
Gee whiz, it was a hard whack.
Yeah, it was one of I did the wrong thing. I was co-captain at the time and should have gone home, all those sort of things, which I spoke about a fair bit. So I was irresponsible as a leader but the chaos after was pretty full on. Then we ended up going to rehab, which was a great experience. A lot of people seem to go to those things now for help. But for me at that time, it was a great thing to do. I went to Thailand for about a month. I still tell people about that now, you know, met a lot of great people. And at that age where I was about 24, 25, you know, you probably haven't really dug deep before at that age, you know, into your emotions or patterns. So it was a good chance just to slow down. And first time I sort of got in and sort of did a bit of digging and got a lot out of it.
Got some vulnerability there.
Yeah, yeah.
Any messages for some of the got mates who really battle, you know, with addictions and things like that at different stages, but trying to get off the drink, how hard was it and what messages can you tell maybe someone who's maybe struggling a little bit with it?
Yeah, I think for me, I think it's got to be in yourself when you want to stop. You know, like I look back now and I think I said it yesterday, but if I had have probably stopped earlier, I would have been a better player, I think, and I would have had a cleaner, more consistent lifestyle. That's just for me. Everyone's personalities are different. I know people that, as we all do, that can have a beer and they're good as gold.
For sure.
They back up, they play great footy. There's no issues. So, but for me, seemed to throw my personality out a fair bit. So I just didn't, yeah, for some reason when I was playing, I just didn't, I did it in periods. During the season, I wouldn't drink for long periods of time. Most seasons, I didn't even drink. I was fully committed to footy.
Yeah.
It was just those episodes when you would, and then it, you can sort of lose it all. But since I've been sober, and for me, it was the right choice. It's given me clarity. You start to attract good things into your life. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think the best thing for you about footy and that camaraderie? What do you think for you? What makes it that good? What do you love about it?
What do I love about footy?
Yeah. Because it's been such a big part of your life, and now that you're retired, you know, there's some other things you've got to put in your life, which you're doing quite well now.
Yeah, it's a good question. What do I love about it? I don't know. I just fell in love with the game since I was a kid. I think it was just the competitiveness of it, being around the team environment, not wanting to let your teammate down, and just having something to strive for, I think. I think when you retire, you reflect on that and you sort of go to something else to do for training. Like, I've noticed myself doing a lot of running now, and you still never lose that little boy, that competitor inside you that you want. And that was probably the thing that, you know, it's just, I think for me, it was just, always wanting to not let your teammates down and prove yourself. Proving yourself is probably the biggest one. And it's a good sport, isn't it? It's good life.
Hey, Mitch, I've been with these guys for sixth year together. I had MG and Maddie beforehand. Yeah. So working with, you never lose that competitive. Like, MG's 56 now and he's still the same, and all these blokes. Before we wrap this one up, I do want to ask you a question as a Rooster fan. With you leaving the club, you're so loved. You'd won a premiership. Everyone thought you were fantastic. Cooper Cronk becomes available, probably the best halfback at the time. They decide to go that way. Obviously, they look back now. He's a life member after 2 years. They won back-to-back comps. Mm. How do you sit back and look at that now compared to how you perhaps you would have looked at it before?
Oh, it was the right decision, and I can say that now. I never had any competitiveness or delusion that Cooper wasn't a elite. You know, I knew he was the benchmark as a half. I spoke about it at the time. I was disappointed because the way it sort of came out, but you get older, it's the way it's managed in sport, wherever you're playing. It's just the way it is. And the good thing, like you said, I still go back to the Roosters now. And one thing the Roosters do, I think better than any other club in the comp, is they look after their seasoned players. There's a lot of love there, genuine love. A lot of clubs I see say these sort of things, but there's not the same respect. But the Roosters, if you've done good by the Roosters and you've got that respect there, that Nick and those guys and the staff, they look after you and genuinely look after you. And, you know, I can't say anything bad about the Roosters. I had some of my best memories there. I definitely played my best footy there. As I said before, I go back in the room there and I've got genuine, real friends that'll be mates for life. And Cooper went on to win two comps. I wouldn't have mind playing off the bench in hindsight.
But
it just looks better on your resume. You can say I had three comps instead of one. Even if I was running off him. But what a legend he was. And it paid off for him, didn't it? You know, obviously there was a lot of pressure when Cooper came, but it just showed how great a player he was to get those. What was his ninth premiership?
Yeah, well, a few of those were knocked off because of the dodginess in Melbourne. But, hey, thanks so much for being part of the 3H's podcast.
Man. No worries.
Mitchell Pearce, ladies and gentlemen.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.